Hi, welcome to another episode of Why Don't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin. This is going to be one of those nerd out episodes. I have a guest, Kevin Peter Hickerson, PhD, nuclear physics. That's right, the man. This is probably his fifth appearance, and we recorded it outside the Hollywood Improv. There's a really cool place to sit and hang out. And we're hanging, and I really wanted to talk to him about robots, artificial intelligence, and Twitter algorithms. And it was a great conversation. My buddy Andrew hung out too. It was my show that night at the Improv, and it sold out. It was sick. Thanks to all the listeners who came out. Got to hang with a bunch of you guys. And everyone kept complimenting me on how nice my fans are. And I think it's because you guys aren't even like fans. You're just like, just people that, you're my people. I like to refer to you as my people. Because it's like, you guys are nice. Like, you like thinking. One person told me, Nick Swartzen was on the show. And he was like, dude, the crowd is so awesome. And this is a dude who sells out 5,000 seat theaters, you know. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, it's like they really want to laugh. Jenny Johnson was on it, who's hilarious, and she said the same thing. She's like, they're also surprised because I think our world is becoming increasingly divided, and I think people are acting like zealots. You know, politics has become a religion, race has become a religion, gender has become a religion. It's pretty exhausting. And I have a great book that I just read recently. Audible is sponsoring my podcast, but I don't remember what the code is yet. I'm gonna do a whole thing about this book I'm reading. I'm gonna do two episodes this week. I have so much material. But I want you to use my promo code for Audible because they don't sponsor that many podcasts, and it's such an honor because I use them all the time. I use Audible all the time, and I listen to this book. It's called Black Redneck, White Liberal. It's fascinating because I think the promo code will be Beers Open, audible.com/beersopen. But yeah, definitely, it's because it supports the show if you use the promo codes. And you get a free 30-day. And I'll do the whole read when next episode. But because I've been having this feeling lately that something's off. I'm sure a lot of people have. And I think it's because we aren't talking about what really divides people, which is culture, not race, not gender, because there's so many logic fallacies with any political group or any category. Within a few paragraphs of rhetoric, you start seeing the flaws. You know, like, I'm not racist, so then why would one school full of black kids do worse than a school full of white kids? And people would say, oh, money. It's like, no, you could do the same amount of money. There's tons of studies about this. And since I'm not racist, I don't believe any race is better than another genetically. I think that's ridiculous. There has to be another factor, and it's culture. And this book, it will blow your mind. And I listened to it. And as I'm listening to it, I started being like, oh, man, he went there. I'm like, this dude is going to be called a racist. And I Googled it. And it's true. There was accusations that he's been called a quote-unquote racist, even though the author does so much research. It's insane. And then I found out he's black. And from North Carolina, and was born in 1930. And that's when you start seeing this cognitive dissonance where people have to start living a lie. How are you going to call that guy a racist? How are you going to call a guy that was born 30 years before the Civil Rights Movement in the South of America racist? It's insane. And it's the same with like gender identity. When they say men and women are the same, and gender is a social construct and all this stuff. which I don't believe. But then when you have someone who's transgendered, you say, well, they were born with the other gender. So then you say, so gender is physical? So they were born with the other gender's brain? And then they just call you a bigot. There's no more debate. There's just nothing. And then the worst part is they then associate you with a political party. Like, just asking questions or pointing out flaws in arguments makes you a Trump supporter or a Hillary supporter. You know, it's the same with Trump's stupid wall. When you're like, why would you build this wall when we have a failing infrastructure in America and there's a negative immigration rate with Mexicans? And they say, oh, you don't love America. And you're like, something's wrong here. And so this episode is, I'll keep this part short. I am going to give a shout out to another sponsor we have, which I love. This sponsor literally has brought my family closer. And in this crazy world of half-truths and agendas, the one thing you can count on is family. And what brings family together is cooking, food, you know? We got a couple free meals from Blue Apron a couple months ago because they were sponsoring the podcast and they wanted us to use it before we talked about it. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And we signed up completely, like totally on board. We do three meals a week because Amy loves it. We do Instagram stories of it because they send you the freshest ingredients. They send you how to cook it, new meals all the time. And you do it together as a family. And if you do it alone, one of my Twitter followers, this is my buddy Eric, who's awesome, said that it taught him how to cook. That when he was single, you know, now he's married as a baby, but he said Blue Apron taught him how to cook because it says what to do. It gives you the food. It tells you how to make a wonderful meal. And it's almost like a much less frustrating IKEA in that sense. Like, IKEA can be very annoying, but I still shop there sometimes. And it's like, but in the end, you're like, wow, I put together a table. I'm not a carpenter. This is that, except the process is enjoyable. You know, you're talking to your wife, you're flirting with your wife, your baby's watching you two do something, your kids are watching you do something. You like learn together. And so I'm so happy that we have this. And, you know, check out this week's menu. Go to blueapron.com and you will get your first three meals free. Free. And also shipping. There's no cost. And if you live in a very remote part of the country like me, I live 100 miles from the nearest Walmart, to put things in perspective. You know, we do not live near anything. I mean, in my opinion, we live near everything. But you know what I mean. So shipping, you might be like, oh, shipping's a problem. Nope, free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/Owen, and that's how you get the free shipping and the free meals. And if you don't like it, bail. You'll love how good it makes you feel, how good it tastes, to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Owen. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And this week I just uploaded a conversation I had with my mom, because I've been on the road a ton. And by saying on the road, I don't just mean shows, I mean like driving. And I met some unbelievable people in Sacramento, some listeners. This one couple brought me a children's book for Walter, my baby. So touching. And the guy's a truck driver, and we related a lot on that. You know, he listens to a lot of podcasts now. His wife got him into podcasts. And like, I was on the road driving at least 20 hours this week for a variety of bizarre reasons. And so I'm just, that's when I make a lot of calls. And I have this thing on my phone where I can record calls. So I recorded a call with my mom, and then after, told her I recorded it, made sure it was cool. Because my parents talk so brilliantly and naturally when they're not being recorded. And she's so smart. And I uploaded it to my Patreon page because we do cover some pretty controversial issues, even though she was one of the first people to go to college from her hometown as a woman, escaped extreme violence from men, became a college professor, a mother, is funny as hell, kind, 76 years old, still looking for the next thing. And the episode is her blueprint. You know, Jay-Z has a blueprint. Why not my mom? How do you get out of that cultural desert of small town Wisconsin in the 40s? You know? But given that, the left wing will still probably call us racists and sexists and bigots, xenophobes, Adolf Hitler. They're really annoying. But both sides are. Any ideology gets annoying once a good amount of money and agenda is infused into it. Their insanity has made people run to the arms of Donald Trump, and they won't admit it, but it's fine. You know, they keep comparing everyone to Adolf Hitler. I was just reading about a guy who was really into yoga. He was an animal rights activist. He was a vegetarian. He was anti-establishment. He was from poverty. Oh, that's Adolf Hitler. So that, my point is, you can pick and choose whatever facts you want to use. Yeah, there are correlations between some of Trump and Hitler. Trump uses fear to motivate people. He never got the full popular vote. He's a populist, you know, but there's also a ton of similarities between him and the left, and him and a lampshade, and him and the moon. Because humans are not thinking animals who feel, but feeling animals who think. So people will feel something, and they have every right to feel something, but then they'll plug in the science to fit their feeling. And that's when we run into problems. That's when people start talking about truth and fact and science. And this episode goes way into that. So if you want to hear my mom's episode at patreon.com, you do have to pledge either like $1, $3, $5, up to $25 a month. That helps us pay for the cost of the show. Maybe helps me get off the road a little more, spend more time with my fam. And you get more stuff. You get stuff that I don't really want to throw out to the wolves. Granted, my listeners on this pretty much aren't wolves anyway. I get almost no negative feedback. But still, I don't want to affect anyone's life negatively or make people, I don't know, freak out. So, but it you'll learn a lot from that. It talks about the value of old people in society and the need for them and how they feel lost. My mom's so open. She is, to her own detriment and to her own success and to everything, she's an open book. But I have edited out a couple little clips whenever she would talk about specific people, because I just don't like to expose anyone who isn't, you know, that doesn't give me the okay. So every now and then it sounds like I'm talking a lot. But yeah, that might be because I've clipped a little bit, clipped some wings. But all in all, it's an insanely good conversation. So that's patreon.com/WDTL. So any support is good. And if you pledge $1, $5, $10, or $25, there is no difference in what you receive. You'll just have access to the stuff I don't post publicly. And you'll meet other really cool people. I see you guys talking to each other a lot. And the people who listen are from a variety of backgrounds. I have, Yale law students, truck drivers, famous celebrities, struggling comedians, housewives, military. And they all kind of have one thing in common, and that's the ability to be wrong, the desire to learn, the desire to laugh, and the need for community. And so I think you'll really enjoy the people that you find listening to this podcast. So check it out and spread it around. Share it to people. Show it to people. Because peaceful, unifying things don't really go as viral. And that's what we talk about in this episode with Kevin. It's going to blow your fucking mind, guys. We have a wiring issue with our brain as humans where we spread things that agitate us. So take the active effort. Like my buddy Max, who's a listener, he's a Patreon guy, And I got him a free ticket to the Hollywood show because I do that for Patreon people too. Anything I can do to help you guys. And he said that was the only, that ours is the only podcast he does Patreon for, and he listens to a bunch of podcasts. And I think that it's because he felt that, where you're not going to get that huge drive that some of these podcasts will get that have identity politics. You know, like, we are lesbian women, or like, we are black men, or we are white nationalist. You know, everybody has this like group now, it seems, that they just kind of cut off the outside and either blame everything on some religion or political group or some shit. And if you take the side of like, yeah, there are horrifying police shootings, and also cops are doing the best they can in a lot of cases, you know, reality, that doesn't get a spread, because people either want you to like hate cops or bleed blue, you know? And if you actually just discuss issues from a more logical, you know, still having emotion, but not having that like tribal cult-like shit, you don't get as much of a pop. And you see that with a lot of comedian careers. There's tons of exceptions to the rule. Joe Rogan is one of the biggest truth-seeking, non-tribal dudes I've ever listened to. You know, Gaffigan and Burr. And, you know, there's so many of these people that are not, they're not tribal. They're just funny, or they're just interesting. But most aren't. Most are like empowering some group to like buy everything, share everything, spread everything, click everything. And I won't do it because it's bad. It's bad. I have an ethic for that. And I find the older I get, the more I'm not motivated by race, gender, or politics at all. I'm motivated by ethics and emotional urges. Like, for example, I was disgusted that the Berkeley students tried to shut down Milo Yiannopoulos from speaking, and they started burning and rioting, calling him a fascist. My ethics says book burning, book censorship, the censorship of free speech is fascism, no matter who you're doing it to. That's what I consider fascism. And so, although I don't agree with a lot of what Milo says, I think he contradicts himself a lot. He's funny, but you got to let him talk. And if you don't, you're now a contradiction. And that's the problem I run into, is because I'm following an ethical approach to like, this is a principle I have, that you don't censor a speaker. If someone's inciting a riot, of course you can censor that person. If someone's saying, get out there and start punching women. So I started listening. That's the thing about Milo, is he puts all his speeches on this podcast. He has a podcast, and I never would have listened to it if they hadn't censored him, because I wanted to know, did he deserve to be censored? Because I saw the images of the fire at Berkeley, and no, he's not inciting violence. He makes some really valid points, and then he makes some not so valid points, and he clearly is a troll. He's trying to provoke people. He's a provocateur. He knows what he's doing. And of course, censoring him only makes him grow. But these are the things that I follow, and I don't, that's why I don't really have a tribe outside of, as Swartzen said, people that want to laugh. Actual comedy fans. People that want to live in a good world. And my theory is that this schizophrenia, this multiple person, this mental divide that happened between our brains split. And I talked about it a while ago when Hillary and Trump were first running, that Hillary represented the prefrontal cortex, like, and Trump represented the lizard brain of emotion. And it was almost like they were perfectly split. Like, Trump kept contradicting himself and saying crazy shit, but you read his emotions as very raw, and they connected to a lot of people. And Hillary was very measured and controlled, and looked at all the data and of course contradicted herself at times, but was like the opposite of emotion. And that appealed to a certain group of people. But you can't function without the other. Neither side can. I think Trump could use some guidance with his cerebral aspects of his personality. Like, he should read more and listen more and contemplate more and not be as erratic and emotional and scary. And Hillary needs to feel more and, like, learn more about the human condition and not these utopian ideals that never seem to really pan out in history and how people don't really act that way. I remember when I was a kid, my dad is a liberal Democrat. My mom's a liberal. I think there's a difference. And the word liberal has changed a lot. Democrat's a political party. Liberal was an ideal, and that's to let people do what they want, to support the weak, and to give freedoms. And the Democrat and Republican Party will keep flip-flopping based on who's doing that, based on what time of history. But now those ideals are starting to flip as well. For certain issues, not all, certain issues. But my dad is brilliant, and I'm not using that word hyperbolically. Like, he's one of the smartest people you've ever met. He's a professor. He teaches public speech. He teaches rhetoric, how to form arguments, political movements, all this stuff. He's a master. And he's loved. He's hysterical. You know? I still have his students write to me all the time, like, your dad's the best professor I've ever had. He's hilarious. He's changed my life. All this shit. And he's one of the reasons that my parents raised me in a way where I'm not very easy to indoctrinate, because we always had foreign exchange students, you know? Saudi Arabians would stay at our house for a summer. That's why it's tough to make me hate Islam. But that being said, I also know that there are groups of people in this world that have an ideology that want to destroy Americans and my way of life, and they're terrifying, of course. But I'm never going to just hate Muslims. I'm not. Because when I was 8 or 10 or 19... they were kind to me, and I remember I gave one of them, this guy named Fahad, who's a Saudi, looking back, I'm guessing like some sort of prince. But I had woven some cloth when I was really young, had a loom, and he had given me this tea set from Saudi Arabia. So I gave him this cloth that I had woven, and I only had one left. I had a few, but this was the one I was proud of. And I felt like that had the most value to me. So I gave it to him, and he was so thankful. And they're so polite and so nice. And when the Berlin Wall came down, one of my dad's students brought back a piece of the wall so I could hold it in my hands in the 90s. And he told me about East and West Berlin and what it was like being there and the release of it. You know, like, we had Irish people at our house. We were poor, but culturally and intellectually free and privileged. That's where my privilege was. I don't believe in racial privilege, and that's part of the controversial aspect of my mom and my talk. I believe in cultural privilege, which is predominantly white. And that's that book, Black Liberal White, or Black Redneck White Liberal, is a masterclass in that, by an author who is black and a incredibly sophisticated and accomplished intellectual and writer. So that's worth a listen, and definitely use audible.com/beersopen. But oh shit, why is that making a sound? So that's why it's tough to indoctrinate me, because I also, you know, my mom is from the culture of violence, and if you talk shit, you get hit. And my uncle has 3 guns on him all the time and thinks that Trump is a Jesus. So it's, you know, and I'm part Jewish, part Catholic, part, we tried to be Lutherans, and my mom started believing in goddess culture. It's, there's... like clickbait stuff can't get to me because I know these people. I've performed in every city in the country. I've performed all over the world. I've performed in Iraq. I've performed in England. And I know what the human core is and what it isn't. And I can be tricked and I can be over emotional and I can be wrong, but I have this very hard time. And sometimes I wish I could be more indoctrinated. I wish I could be more like the Hollywood left that says everything Trump does is Adolf Hitler and, you know, that his supporters are all dumb rednecks. And I know better than that. Just like I know better than all Muslims are evil because I know them. I know Trump supporters. Some are maniacs. Some Muslims are maniacs. And I think issues like immigration and stuff like that are above my pay grade. They're very complicated. I'm not capable of just tweeting and tweeting and tweeting about that. I think it's cool to show social disdain. You know, I think that some right wingers will test the waters to see what they can get away with, to see how much they can accelerate. But on a lot of principles and ethics, Trump isn't even a right winger. I mean, the wall is embarrassing for most conservatives. It's a horrific waste of government spending and silly. So that's it. And if you're like me, you could have just disagreed with half the shit I said and still like me, just like I would like you. Is I don't know if Jesus said it, but I heard it in church, I think, as a kid. Hate the sin, love the sinner. You know? And we all have a different idea of what sins are. So all I'm saying is be capable of change, be capable of being wrong, be capable of growth, and be capable of not judging someone's entire soul just on one of their beliefs, because you're no better than the people you claim to be against. I mean, silencing a fascist by definition is fascism. And in the episode I'm going to do on Thursday, there's so many hilarious examples of it. It's back to being a stand-up episode. This one is because people miss different stuff. Like I get emails where people are like, oh, I miss when you interview people. And others are like, I miss when you like do all the stand-up stuff. So I try to switch it up. And please email me. I read all of them. And this last week, I didn't really get very many. So I don't know why. So hit me. Whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. I love knowing what you know and think and feel because it helps me form my opinions and, you know, change for the better. Okay, so here is Kevin Peter Hickerson, and it'll just end at the end of it. So I'll say bye now. But and you also get a vibe of what the improv is like, just how magical it is. Just some of the greatest comics in the world just stopping by and being like, yo, what's up? Let's grab a beer. It's insane. It's heaven. That's one area I do miss. I don't miss LA. I miss the improv. I don't miss the traffic. I miss the ocean. You know, my mom and I talk a lot about Lafcadio by Shel Silverstein in our Patreon episode because she teaches children's literature, which is incredible. All right. Well, much love and enjoy Kevin. He's great. He also does comedy. He's very funny, but he is legitimately one of the smartest people. We do another podcast called Surely You're Joking that I've been absent from for months, but we've interviewed Kip Thorne and Bill Nye and all these people. Like, Bill Nye is a great example of being a good communicator in science and not just treating everyone like they're dumb assholes, because that's not good in science. All right, enjoy Kevin. Much love. Love you guys. Hugepianist.com for tour dates, because I am going all over the place.
What's the case for this week?
Oh, for Case Closed Beers Open? We're going to do the beard one and just throw Harry's an extra.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because it's the paraplegic beard trimmer. Yeah, so we're going to talk about physics.
Go for it. I want to listen.
This is going to be for Why Don't They Laugh. Yeah. So, Kev, long time no see, buddy.
Yeah, it's been a while. How's New York?
We're back in business. How's New York?
Yeah.
I don't know. Riddled with algorithms? Let's dive in.
Tree-cutting algorithms, mostly.
The other night, we were getting hammered, and you started telling me that algorithms have hacked our brains.
Yeah, so Between then and now, I actually watched the most recent Terminator episode, so I have some like cultural context to compare against. And even there, they didn't quite go all the way. They were like, okay, there was like, I don't want to ruin the movie, but I'll just say there's a Terminator theme.
You're fine.
Yeah, there's a theme where, you know, the robots are more like integrating with people in a way that's more deceptive than.
Hey,
ever
Jenny,
before.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Haven't started yet, I take it.
What's that?
Hadn't started yet.
I think it might have just started, but we're good. Yeah.
Okay. Hi. How are you? I'm Jenny.
Kevin.
Hey. Nice to meet you. Hi.
Andrew,
Jenny.
Yeah, he's a physicist. He's telling me right now for my podcast how algorithms have hacked our brains.
Oh yeah.
It's a little fucking. He's a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Journalism degree. I don't know.
Yeah. I got a history degree. All I can do is be like, that's not accurate.
Be like, yeah, the news is fucked.
I love how real this is. Just like, yeah, we were hanging out in the parking lot.
Yeah. So, improv. Okay, so you're watching the Terminator getting...
Yeah, so they get it close and stuff. So I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I can use this to relate for the recording. But it's like, it's more cynical than that. It's like, imagine our brains are... computers themselves, which they are, everybody agrees that, right? But we've been so busy like programming computers, and when I say we, I don't mean like, you know, the world's effort is going into this, although it kind of is, but people have been trying to write algorithms to sell things, to affect political opinions,
yep,
to fight wars. These are all things that people put a lot of energy and money into, and we're starting to get kind of fucked by that effort. And we all knew it was going to come, because one of the smartest ways to do that is, like, just treat it like your brain, like the brain of the people you're trying to affect, their decision making.
Right.
Just treat it like they're also a computer with a very fuzzy interface. You know, it's like, normally hackers go from, like, one machine to the other when they find the right password or they find a weakness.
Right.
Now people are just starting to skip that step. They're like, well, look, we have all this... you know, we all have this technology designed to, like, figure out how to adjust people's behavior. That's almost like the security weakness now. Like, it doesn't matter what their computer... It doesn't matter what their password is, because everybody's password is password, by the way. in fact, I said that during the election. So it was like, everyone's, like, freaking out, like, saying, like, oh, you know, they're suddenly all... like security experts, you see all these people doing, like, well, Hillary shouldn't have located this in her... you know, in her bedroom or something, because but still everybody was just like, yeah, my Twitter account is password. So.
Jesus. Well, I think that what's happening is people know that the best way to profit and create action is division.
Yeah, well,
because that's... Because I don't think it's a conspiracy. I don't think it's like some cabal of people wanting to ruin the world. I think people want to sell Geico.
It's not even at all a conspiracy.
No,
that's,
not at all.
That's actually what's scary, because at least with a conspiracy, they always put a kill switch. You know, like,
right.
You can imagine, like, the mastermind of the world going, like, okay, we're going to, you know, like, the evil speech at the end of the movie where the guy's like, what is his super destructive takeover plan?
Is this Terminator?
He always, no, just any movie ever.
Right.
The villain gives his little talk where he says what the evil plan is, but then he also reveals what the kill switch is or what the weakness is. You know, or the Death Star has its, like, terminal that go, you know, that one spot where you blow up the whole thing. That's the whole problem with the evil conspiracies, is that they do have that weakness. This
Which
isn't
is so
like
obvious,
that.
No,
too.
I got
this is like kind of just like, yeah, right there.
Right.
You just push that button.
This is worse, because this is like millions of hungry wolves trying to out-hack each other.
That's
and
why
so
we're obsessed.
Really
that's why we're obsessed with zombies. My mom was like,
yeah, totally.
No, my mom,
yeah,
literally, without even knowing the name of the TV show, she goes, my students this year are The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's why we're obsessed with zombies, because emotionally we already are.
Because those algorithms are like zombies. I mean, the Twitter bots that are out there right now, like, okay, so Hillary had something like 10% Twitter bots. Trump had something like 30. And these are just, they're things that look like normal people, because when you have 140
characters. Oh, did I ever tell you my experience with a zombie on Twitter?
A zombie bot?
Someone, yeah. I tweeted something innocuous, and then someone did some hyper identity politics bullshit. We're like, you know, okay, wait, man, I'm a Spanish, whatever. And I started asking her questions. And at first it was like she had answers. And then I finally started saying, like, so where did you go to school? What is your favorite color?
Mm-hmm.
How many fingers would you be holding up if you were saying the number 8?
Uh-huh.
And, like, it started melting down.
Yeah.
And it was, like, scary. Because I started being like, why? I just started going, why do you do this? And it was like, why do you ask? And I was like, oh my God, I'm talking to the devil right now.
Because
it wasn't a real person.
Here's an example of where it gets super creepy, though. So a lot of technology, this is how an example of like good-hearted technology gets transformed into this zombie shit. So a lot of tech companies put tons of effort into making call centers. That is like you have a center where there's a room full of people.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting there answering questions online. They might not speak English very well. Maybe they're in a foreign country or something. So what you do is you make a robot that transfers to a person at just the right time and then is a fucking robot like for the other time.
Yeah.
And when I've talked to Twitter bots online, that's how a lot of them are. I mean, it's so obvious because you're sitting there talking to them. It's very conversational and you're fine. And then they just, you can tell, there's a switch. Like, oh, you're asking me too many things. It goes away. Or they disappear for a while.
Oh, and by the way,
this is how a lot of the bots are.
When I had that, like, massive public shaming about criticizing Beyonce,
I like you say that, like, I know what you're talking about.
Well, it was pretty intense. But I went back later. Also, one time, I did the joke, why are there so many women on Twitter? Does that mean all the dishes are done? And, hilarious.
That almost
joke.
Ended
I love
your
that
career.
You went quiet, and there's like no one outside.
No, but that's the tone.
Like, it was that tragic.
But look,
though,
Carlin
like,
over there is looking over.
You're
it.
Done he's with that fear, little yeah. incident. Like, you're well, yeah, just like, no, I'm over it. I learned my lesson.
But that's
I'm
also the delivery
even,
I would do. That, yeah. All the dishes are done. It's not even that I'm being secretive. I'm being kind of stern.
Yeah, okay.
But I went back to look at all my scolders, and they were gone. They didn't exist anymore.
Like, oh, that's hilarious. Yeah,
no, there'd be like thousands of people being like, you white bitch, you fucking patriarch about. And I'm like just drowning. And I almost had a panic attack. And then like 6 months later, I went back because I was doing an experiment in my head of like, what happens to these people? And 90% didn't exist.
You know what it is? It's one person paying like $5 to have a bunch of fake stuff like come your way. So
well,
it's like
there's a lot of people. So, I mean, big companies set up like experiments where they put up trolls and stuff, they immediately become either social justice warriors or Nazis or like the weirdest shit because like
decision
you said, that is what it doesn't just sell, it propagate it like that's who is arguing with them. The robots know
that's why that one video I did, Peace Will Never Go Viral. I was talking to people about it last night, that the most viral things are half wrong and half true.
Right.
Like the perfect thing was Kaepernick's knee. Because depending on your perspective, you're right. That's what makes viral. It's like from like someone whose husband's in Afghanistan, she's a single mom and like she has no money, like she's pissed. And then the guy like in the hood that wants someone to acknowledge that they have problems and that when you get money you don't forget your culture, loves it. They're both right. Mm-hmm. So now you just start fighting. And it's like a rancher in Montana and a software engineer in San Francisco arguing about the role of guns in society. One has trolley cars, one has wolves. Mm-hmm. It's like the fight is designed. They find these like little niche arguments where both people fighting are right and wrong. And so that's why it never ends.
And the robots know that because they go after the fight. They don't go after... like the stereotype of a robot in the 1950s was just like a thing that spits facts, right?
Right.
But we already knew in the... All the way back then, we're like, well, nobody's going to talk to that. That's how you know it doesn't pass the Turing test, because it's just like, you're like, what's 2 + 2? And it's like, it's 4. And they're like, okay, conversation over.
You're like,
it's
unless
a robot.
This thing's a cunt, it's not a human.
Right, right. Also it like, has to be wrong, and then that causes the thing. It has to say something that's, like, dubious or slightly flawed. And
yeah,
that
the humanity's in the flaws.
You know, I think would be awesome. I wish we could get our hands on this. It's like, I want to see the trolls arguing with trolls, because that must be a huge fraction of internet.
Is there an end to all this? Do you think there's a way to get out of this hell?
Well, at the moment, it's not looking good.
Well, I kind of did, dude.
I mean, I'm scared because imagine
moving to Saranac Lake and getting a fucking...
No, dude, that's like trying to escape... The zombie thing is perfect. That's like trying to escape the zombie apocalypse by moving out of Atlanta like they do in Walking Dead. Yeah, that buys you a year, but you still need to stockpile a shitload of guns. You need to like have a bunker, and humans are going to be
worse
enemy.
This Trump thing is the perfect bot, because he's half wrong.
He's practically a bot. Like sometimes I watch him. I think he himself is one
because
of the hack
bots. Because
his
rhetoric is perfect.
I love the half wrong.
Rhetoric is perfect for it. And Hillary's also a bot.
I was just talking to somebody on Facebook about this. Like a classic one, his famous quote about their rapists. Like, I pointed out to somebody, I don't know why this didn't get a bigger deal, but have you noticed that, like, if you write it down, there's two interpretations. One is they are rapists. The other one is they're rapists, meaning Mexicans. And it changes. Just like go back and watch that clip, trying to figure out which of those two things it is. Most people didn't
realize.
Dude,
it's the dress. It's is it gold yeah, or
yeah,
is it blue?
Yeah, it's a gold, exactly.
It's the ultimate divider.
It's done on purpose. Yeah. It's like, and that's he why said that word, I swear to God, on purpose. It's like he wanted it to be a dog whistle on one side and the other.
Same with making fun of the guy with disabilities. There's tons of clips of him of him doing that to, like, tons of people. It sets up.
PC police.
There it is. So what that does is it sets up an argument for both sides.
Yeah,
where
when
you see this image of this bully attacking this man with disabilities, it's horrendous. But then when you see him doing it to, like, 20 people without disabilities, you're like, oh, that's just what he does. Mm-hmm. And then you have a fight. And it's fucking crazy. It's designed to divide. I know. Dude, that's one of the reasons that I don't really go viral. Dude, I swear to God. Because, like, dude, my shows, not to be a dick, but, like, afterwards, people are always like, that's the best show I've ever seen. And then that's it. Yeah. But if I'm like, if you're a woman, you're a victim, then they're like, that show sucked, but I'm going to fucking retweet her all the time. Yeah. It's like, it's just, it's bizarre. But I think that human brain can adapt better than bots.
Did you see Jim Jeffries' clip? Because we were talking about it with
him.
And then
like
did he
it.
Actually, and then if, predictably, that clip went... Dude, kind of viral. That was hilarious.
We were with Jeffries tonight, and remember I was like ripping on Piers Morgan. I'm like, "Fuck Piers Morgan."
Yeah, he's like, "I gotta go talk to him, mate." That was my
And then he just ripped on him, and then everyone texted it to me.
I tried to talk him into like physically attacking him, but he's
Has
like,
"No."
Has
the show started, bro?
No, they started seating. I'll check on when
it's probably started, right?
You don't think that a lot of it is? You think that people's brains adapt, but like. There is a lot of fake stuff out there that I really don't think that, like, there's so much clickbait.
Yeah, but fake stuff is
the... a large variety of people that don't believe in
that. Fake stuff is the fuel of this. It's like, the best way to get a divide is to throw out fake facts. I mean, that's the fuel of, like, it's the same with the robots doing math problems. Like, nobody's interested in listening to a robot doing a math problem because we already know they get the right answer. Fake facts is where everybody freaks out.
Yeah, because reality is boring.
But there's also this. There's also the people that see fake facts and they'll like blow up and troll or like bring attention to one post. Never go to that site and unfollow it. But the next post that's like what they're in favor of, then they'll like blast that in the opposite direction.
Oh, good. Thanks,
and it's like weird to think that like even if you see this fake stuff, no one interacts to like unfollow it after they get outraged. They'll just like... wait for the next thing they either agree or disagree with to, like, continue this fire that
they're
building.
As if there's, like, a stranger in a crowd just coming up to you and being like, you're missing a sock. And you're like, I'm missing a sock. Like, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying, yeah. And you just instantly believe him or don't believe him, and then it could be the same person 10 minutes
later.
Did
I tell you the TV show I'm pitching?
No.
There's two possible titles. It's either called Both Ways... because it's kind of funny because it sounds a little gay. And the other one is Quick Debate. And it's the whole thing is I go on
and
the internet.
Debate.
Yeah, you get it. So I go on the internet and I look at the day's Quick Bait and I get instincts. And I'm like, this is what I think. And then I actively try to be proven wrong.
Okay.
Just to like to show that like my ethic, like... I'll find an expert or like the opposite of the quick bait.
Because it takes a lot of effort to prove something that's obviously wrong is wrong. Like it's
dude,
easy
I'm
to
reading
prove
this book right now.
It's easy to prove a thing that is known to be right. That's a piece of cake. Because all you have to do is like, well, here's the fucking Wikipedia article. Here's like 8, you know, well-respected Nobel laureates saying it. And everyone's like, oh, okay. And it's a well-reasoned argument. You're like, that's fine. It's really hard when the thing you're trying to prove wrong, you know, they're just like, well, it's worded different, or you know, I mean, there's 100 ways something can be wrong. There's only one way that it can be right.
Dude, I'm reading this book right now. It's just like that. It's called Black Redneck White Liberal, and it's disproving so much shit that we think is fact. And this guy's been criticized hard for being racist, but he's an 87-year-old black man from North Carolina who's a Harvard doctor, and like. He makes the argument that it's culture, not race, and he shows example after example after example of that there is privilege, but it's it's culture, and that 9/10 of the black population adopted like the white cracker southern shit culture, and only 1/3 of whites adopted that. So that 1/3 is in this no man's land of having this culture. They have the same culture where it's like excessive violence, overuse of force, thinking that reading makes you gay, you know, overly tribal.
But do you think it's like...
No, but it's like, and it's so true. They talk the same. It's like...
Do you think it's almost like forced culture rather than culture, though? Like, when you're kind of like the product of your environment, but like with the, if you read, you're gay type of thing, like that ideas are almost like pushed on you rather than like it being subsequent cultures, if that makes sense.
Well, it's like, I believe in cultural ethics and genomes. Like, there was this one quote where someone's like, why did Jews do so well in the SATs? And someone goes, they've been preparing for 1,000 years. You know? We're like, because I'm part of, like, both cultures. Like, yeah. I have the redneck cracker in me, but I also have the liberal professor in me, and I see that that's where it lies. Where your whole life you're told power's from education, you know, freedom is from, you know, what skills you can bring to the table, versus another culture that says power comes from excessive force, yeah. Acting like a badass,
that makes sense.
You know, driving like the Dukes of Hazzard car and fucking spray painting your face, you know. And the reason it's so disproportionately black is because they were forced. That's why when you have like West Indies and African black, they do so much better in capitalist societies because the skill set is so much like different.
Yeah. I lived in Africa for a while, so I saw that like up close when I was a kid. It's just like, holy shit, this is totally different. It's like,
yeah, it's not
and
even
yet
close.
Still similar, like issues, but not like it's not like you go to Africa and it's like a bunch of American black people there.
Yeah, it's good. No, and like
in fact, actually,
think about what everyone criticized.
Stand out like crazy in Africa. It's hilarious.
Dude,
like,
think about
everyone
what
gets culture shock around that. Like,
dude, and think about like trailer parks and like ghettos and like what people criticize those people for is almost identical. Like extreme pride, not a high work ethic, a lot of kids, you know, it's the same problems. And ironically, it's a shit white culture that was forced on the black population where it's like, oh, you got to keep it real. It's dude, Chris Rock's joke is the whole point, but he managed to do it with humor. I love black people, but I hate niggas. Like that's culture versus race.
Yeah.
That's saying I love black people, but like I don't like the ones that act in the way that bring us all down. And like, yeah. I can never do that joke, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, because it only
except on your podcast,
it only hurts that population by pretending like it isn't this.
Yeah.
That like you have to make like total, you know, and he broke down middle, what is it called? Middleman cultures like Jews, Armenians, Koreans, and how similar a lot of them are, where in times of, you know, idiocy and extreme tension, they just start killing the people that are the trader, like the trade for a living, because morons don't understand that trade is a commodity, and they're like, they don't make nothing.
Yeah.
And that they're always like smarter and a little detached from the population because they kind of have to be. Mm-hmm. And that's where all these genocides come from. And it's like, you see this shit over and over and over and over again, and it's like,
that's
what
actually
the
really
fuck?
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's middleman cultures.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because think about when shit goes south, who do you start blaming? Bankers, retailers, the prices are so high. No, it's not it at all. It's that, like, without that freedom of trade and people to do that, your economy's fucked. Mm-hmm. Like, you need that shit. And, like, you got to value those people. You know, it's like, he doesn't make nothing with his hands. And that's when that cracker culture fucks people.
Yeah.
And it existed in England before slavery. It was like, it was a shit culture that got here from England and Scotland. And there was reforms in the UK that didn't happen here. And that's why it stayed.
Yeah, but you still need it.
You still need what?
I think you need it in every culture, that component. You need people to like, you need people to get pissed off like really quickly. And
you need warriors?
Yeah. So it serves a purpose too.
I'm not like anti. Hear me out. I'm not anti the culture. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Antebellum South.
I'm just saying it has a purpose. It's not just.
Right.
You're talking about where it comes from. I'm saying it almost doesn't matter where it's come from. It needs to be a fraction of a healthy population.
Right.
Anywhere you go, I think it's like.
I'm not anti any culture.
I'm not accusing you of being.
No, my point is that not understanding what holds people back causes a lot of unnecessary rage.
But maybe where, it is necessary. That's what I'm saying. Maybe that rage.
It's necessary for people to be like,
well, no, no. They don't
Kevin Hickerson has a lighter skin than me. Like, that's
insane. Maybe. I mean, maybe because I'm like, you know, I need somebody to get pissed off that they're poor, like, when I'm in danger. Like, oh, shit. Poor people help me or something. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense, Kevin.
Oh, come on, Dustin. You need people. If you're attacked, you need, look, there's a fraction of, imagine you're just a tribe of 100 monkeys.
Right.
Okay. You need some fraction of the monkeys to be pissed off that you can just,
and get
you
her
can
done.
Wave any, yeah, get her, yeah, exactly, get her done. You wave your flag or whatever, you're just like, dude, shit, like the other, the
no,
other
of course, I'm not saying,
like it's like, look,
no,
I,
of course,
I'd help you guys, I'm just, I'm too busy thinking about how we go about,
no, of course, like, there, but there, you know, but there's people that get her done that don't value extreme and unnecessary shows of violence, like Scandinavians.
You need that sometimes.
Now, Scandinavians, Vikings.
It's because, don't, they have extreme violence, it's just cold.
Well,
that's
no.
Their violence. Nobody's attacking them because it's cold.
They're that, hiding that is the dumb cold. Fake news.
That
no
cold?
One attacks
you're
people
saying,
because it's cold. Ask yeah, Russia no. Or Poland. No one attacks Poland. It's fucking freezing there. It's about land barriers and shit.
That's
no
true.
One attacks them because they're cold. Yeah, that's why everyone's invading Costa
that's
Rica.
I didn't say that nobody World attacks. I'm just saying they have extreme violence. So
no one attacks them
in
well.
The form of cold.
Hey, how are you? What's going on? Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
I'm running late, aren't I?
Yeah, get in there. I'll be in. I'm going on soon.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
No one attacks them because they're cold.
No, but they...
Okay, I should have said lesser.
Steps over the boulder.
They gave women the right to vote way... like 500 years before you're, like anyone else. It's like women were voting in like 700 AD with Vikings. They were like literate.
Yeah, but it's cold.
How does being cold have anything to do with anything? Northern European culture is pretty spot on.
That is such a classic tall white guy living in upstate New York thing to say. It's Who cares if it's cold, bro?
Cold means you have to stick together and have a game plan or you
That's
fucking
true.
Die.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
The whole point is it actually promotes altruism. Because like
okay,
I do a
unless
bit.
I check, nobody's invading Greenland. It's pretty poorly defended.
I do a bit. Okay. I do a bit about how the reason I love Saranac Lake is there's no class issues. You could be a Rockefeller or a stonemason, and your value is whether or not you own a shovel.
I mean, yeah, I agree with that. My grandparents are from Ireland, and they lived there their whole time, and it was just like, what do you bring? If you bring something, then you're fine. Like, and everyone just, you know.
That's why I love comedy in the UK, because it's like, it isn't that like, oh, says the tall guy who isn't left-handed.
Yeah.
It's not this like... robotic fucking us against them minefield of disaster. Because, like, I am very privileged, but it's my culture. It's because I have parents that taught me how to save money, read books, and start businesses. That knowledge is my whole space of freedom. I know 99% of Oswego is poor and will always be poor because it's a fucking intellectual desert. Like, that's not privilege. Privilege is having skills to know how to navigate the world we live in. Like, knowing how to fish if you live on a river is a privilege. It's not just being white. And that's when the fucking half right, half wrong shit kicks in. Because those people are like, fuck Colin Kaepernick, man. I fucking sell meth and I don't even have a dick no more. You know, and they're like, they have problems. And then that starts, those half-truths start like shitty nationalism and fascism and stuff because they're like angry. Dude, robots are fucking us.
Yeah. At the end of the day, the robots are fucking us. That's interesting.
How do we blow up the internet?
You can't. It's useful.
You know what?
We have to deal with it.
No, but I'm saying in 20 years.
It's like cars. It's like, look, everyone freaked out when cars came out because like they were going 10 miles an hour and everyone thought they were going to kill everybody.
Cars didn't.
Which is only a half truth.
Cars didn't call me bigoted 30,000 times a day.
Well, okay, but that's a new thing. That's a robot can do that a million times a day, a billion times. And they know that's your weak spot.
It's not anymore. I don't really have many weak spots.
Well, okay, so that's probably how we'll beat it, too. We just don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, you just start not caring. You don't engage.
If you ignore the robot. I think the Simpsons had it perfect a long time ago. They had the, like, what happens when the advertisements come alive. I think it was one of the Halloween episodes.
Yeah.
And then Lisa Simpson sings this song, like, just don't look. And she just repeats that over. It's like, it's that simple.
Oh, it's like ads on TV now. Yeah. You just fast forward.
Yeah, you just skip the ad and it goes away. It's like,
just don't pay attention.
You eventually get to the point where you're like, I don't care, crazy robot.
Yeah, but they adapt too, though. Like, they adapt too, though.
They can, but maybe 100%. We'll get outsmart. I mean, it's just.
We got to stop valuing money so much. I think, because that's the ultimate carrot. Where it's like,
temporary. You're thinking to small potatoes.
How dare you, Kevin?
I know.
Small potatoes. Why? Because I use carrot, not potato.
Wrong thing that grows underground, bro.
But I like kind of feel like you don't think that a lot of people don't care that much, but it's just whenever you're back here, you feel like everyone does.
Oh, yeah,
like,
dude, 100%.
You know, because even in Colorado when I was in Denver, it's like, it's more laid back. People don't care. When
yeah, but Boulder, it's starting to infect like, people that were, I never give a fuck about politics.
Dude, I think that's Obama gave that advice when he was leaving. That was his one thing he said. It was fucking brilliant. He's just like, hey, go out and talk to a real person. Yeah. It's like, it's that simple.
Right.
Like, guess what? You can't, half of them are robots. Half of them are your family who you wouldn't spend time with anyway.
Remember that
just
set that I did?
And like hang out
I did
with
a year ahead of
it. All fucking disappears.
That set I did a year ago, I should probably bring back Google God, where I start asking,
oh, yeah,
when
like
I ask Google real life questions like, am I pretty?
Oh, yeah.
Does anyone love me? And within two clicks, they're trying to sell me a cruise.
Yeah. Thank
you. That's, it's, yeah, but we're fine. We're men. All right, let's go do comedy.